Here this weekend, we're actually starting a new series, and we're going to be talking about gratitude here over the next couple weeks. And not just because it's Thanksgiving time, it is always a great time to talk about that, but we're not talking about this because we're trying to do the like forced Thanksgiving gratitude thing. You're like, well, it's Thanksgiving time, I guess we better be thankful. Or else, right? That's not what we're doing here, right? You know, I know that like sometimes you had that with your parents growing up. Everybody remembers that one talk with mom and dad where they're like, you're so ungrateful. And like, we're going to make you be grateful. Be grateful. You know, it's like, that doesn't work. So that's not what we're doing. What we're going to do is talk about gratitude though, because it's very important. And here's what I would say about gratitude that I think is probably the biggest reason why it would be good to talk about it. When I think about gratitude, what it does for me, and I think the same is true for most people, it is one of the most helpful things to keep us tethered to reality. When we think about our life and the things going on, you can get all kinds of perspectives, you can get in all kinds of moments, but gratefulness, the act of remembering what we have that's good in our life, can actually help tether us to what is really going on in life. I think we would all agree with that. I think that when we can remember what's good and what's gone well, we feel the effects of that. It is a good thing. It helps keep us in reality even during a hard time. But here's the tricky thing about it is that sometimes it can become elusive in our lives. It can be difficult to be grateful. Right? I'm just speaking from my own experience here. I'm like, it is just sometimes plain difficult to be grateful. Especially when there's a hard time going on, especially when something unplanned is happening, it can really, really put a clench on that. It can be really tough to get to gratitude. I think we've all done this. We're maybe doing okay for a while, right? We're like, we feel pretty grateful. We're like, things are going well. And then stuff just happens, a tough circumstance comes, change plans, uncertainty. Right? That might be in a bunch of different areas. It might be with school. We're like, I thought I was going here in the fall, and now I'm not. Or I went there for a semester, and it seems like something's changing, right? All of these things can be happening. School's not going the way I thought. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Math is really hard, right? We might be thinking about our job. I thought I was going to stay at this job forever. I got laid off. I need to change somewhere. I move, right? All these things happening. Family stuff can happen. Man, I was really grateful for my family, but now this turmoil is happening. I don't know how it's going to land. I don't know what's going on. And in many of these times, the hardest thing to think about doing in difficult time is to be thankful for something. Because at least for me, it's like flashing in front of my eyes that I don't have what I need right now or what I think I need. Something is wrong. And gratefulness is not always my first response. And many times it's just hard to do. And here's why I think this is true for us. Because in hard times, when our perspective starts to move towards it, here's what ends up happening. In the hard times, we often start to interpret God through our circumstances. And this is true if we're a follower of Jesus. Oftentimes we can start to interpret God, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't put me through this, right? So what's going on here? What is God doing? Is he punishing me? Did I do something wrong? What's going on? Maybe if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you might even be the same way. Well, if God really loved me and wanted me to follow him, he wouldn't make my life so stinking hard. He wouldn't have put me through all this. Right? You see what I'm saying? It's easy to see where that comes from when we start to interpret God through our circumstances. We get hung up here. This started to happen to me even this week. I was thinking about it. And I was my wife and I decided to buy a house and renovate it with three small children while we're doing some other things in life. It's a really good idea. And we're like, and let's just do it in like less than a month. If we could just do that, it'd be great. We'll just get it over with, you know? That's how renovations go. And you get in there, and it's just what we ended up having was just a couple intense weeks. I realize I chose this, okay? So I'm not being like, what's happening to me? You're like, Aaron, you did this. I know that. But what happened is the human experience of difficult or like stressful times was happening. I saw it happening. We're in the middle of it, and we're planning a renovation. We had to clear out the whole house because like they left everything there. So it was like total everything. So we get it all out, and I coined a phrase because when you start ripping something up, you're like, I'll just do this. You're like, no, you're not. You're doing five other things. And so I would like rip open of something, and I'd look in, and I'm like, oh, goody. Fun. That's neat. Oh, this water softener's just been unplugged forever. That's neat. That's good. That's what's supposed to happen. Right? You're like, what is going on? Right? All this stuff's happening. So we're in the midst of this, and I was driving home one night after like renovating, my mind is not working. I'm just like, Lord, what is going on? Like, why is this happening? And I caught myself doing this thing. I thought to myself, well, God, I prayed for a house, but geez. What did you have to make it so hard? I'm like, you know, all I could see is all these things are going wrong, and then I just try to do this, and that's happening, and I just started going down the street. I'm just being honest with you here. And what happened is I was starting to interpret God and my relationship with him through my current circumstance. And I thought to myself, why is it so hard to do this? Here's my hope for us today is that when we look at our circumstances, when we are going through, and when we're thinking about gratefulness, that we would be able to look and be reminded who God is, right? That when we go through this, that we would be able to see that our circumstances need to be viewed through God, right? Not let God be viewed through our circumstances, right? How do we do that? Right? That's what I'm trying to get us to today, is to remember this. And I think in Psalm 103, where we're going to camp out today, is the perfect passage for this. And we're just going to read through the whole thing. We don't always do this, but I want to read through this whole thing today, and then I want to go back and talk about it a little bit, because I think it's the perfect spot as we begin to talk about gratitude here over the next couple weeks. If you don't have a Bible in front of you in the seats, there's some there. You can grab one of those and follow along with us. If you don't have one at home, please take that with you. But let's start in Psalm 103. Here's what it says. It starts out saying this: praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And the place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Crazy verse. There's just so much to unpack here, but there's some things that this passage begins to show us in how we can interact with gratitude that I think are very important for us to catch here. The first thing is this that we see right away. This passage reminds us who we are. Verse 15 says this. It says, the life of mortals is like grass. It's the first time I've ever been compared to grass in my whole life when I started reading the Bible. They flourish like a flower of the field, but then they're gone, right? The wind blows over and the place remembers it no more. I mean, when you think about our life here on this earth, remembering who we are in God's plan, this is a very important thing to catch here, because we see that it's temporary, right? Even if we make a really big impact and we do something really cool, we're going to be forgotten someday, right? Almost for sure, right? It's a very short list in this passage of who we are. But we see that our space here on this earth, it's very temporary. The life here is temporary. The passage goes on to remind us in the bulk here of what we really want to look at is that it reminds us who God is and what he has done for us. And here's why we want to camp out on these things, because these are the things that start to show us what God has done for us. These are the things that we're reminded of in this passage. In verses 3 through 6, it starts to talk about the fact that God has forgiven us of our sin. He redeemed us from the pit that we are in. And not only that, he crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies us. He works justice for the oppressed. and righteousness. Right? We begin to see that God starts working our life this way. In verses 8 through 10, we see more of what God is doing and who he is. We see that he is gracious, right? Giving us what we don't deserve. Gracious to us. And that he is full of love and that he is merciful, right? Not giving us what we do deserve for our sins. It goes on here and just continues to show us these things that our sin has not only just been forgiven, it's been removed. He's not holding it against us if we're followers of Christ. That there is fatherly compassion from the Lord, right? Not just it's not a pity. It's not I feel bad for them. It's that he loves us. A father looks at a child with compassion and wants them to succeed, wants them to be safe, wants them to be okay. Longs to be in relationship with them. Right? It's a fatherly compassion. And perhaps one of the most important things here that we see at the end is that when he has compassion for us, for he knows how we are formed and he remembers that we are dust. See, there's a big deal there that God isn't just off here and he's this way and we're this way and he's like, figure it out. Right, what God points out to us, what we see in this passage is that God remembers that we are dust. Of course, because he created us, but because more than that, he knows us. Right, he knows that when we don't bring a lot to the table here. Right, oftentimes when we come to Christ, many of your stories, if you've come to know Christ at some point, is that you didn't come to the table polished up and ready to rock as a follower of Christ. You probably came at your worst. If you're like me, mine was more of what I'm bringing to the table is a bunch of guilt, a bunch of shame, a bunch of sin. And I'm like, this is who I am right now. God, this is what I have to offer. And why it's so important that God would understand us is because when we bring that to the table, God remembers that oftentimes it's because we feel the pressure of life. Right? See, the pressure of life, because we're like grass, the pressure of life reminds us how precious and short life can be. Right? That we feel squeezed by it. We feel like we don't know what's going to happen. We feel temporary. We maybe already feel forgotten. We maybe feel very alone in what we're going through. And what God would say is that when we come to the table with what little we have, other than a desire to be in relationship with a God who loves us, what we're met with, right? Notice this passage doesn't talk about being condemned, right? This message doesn't talk about God. Now, he has anger for sin because it's sin. God is against sin. He cannot be in relationship with it. But when he forgives us, he offers us his forgiveness. What he's saying is, if you will allow me to be in your life, I can offer you all of these things. We have to deal with the sin. Right, you have to let me forgive that which amounts in us coming to him. This is a great depiction of how God wants to meet us with salvation. Right, that he would cast out our sin, that he would forgive it, that he would desire to love us and show us graciousness and mercy and not even hold us accountable for the sin that we have committed, that you have committed, that I have committed. God says, I'll take care of that. So he moves towards us in this. So if we believe in God, not just believe that he exists, not just believe that he's real, if we believe in God, if we have a relationship with him, what happens is gratitude is not just a ritual, right? It's not sit down and write the 10 things that you're thankful for. It can be. It's not just do this or you failed at it. It's not just do this or God's going to be mad at you because he's like, look at all this great stuff I've done for you. You can't even be grateful for a second. You don't see that heart in this passage. The reason that we would have gratitude in our lives is because gratitude is actually us responding to the great love of Christ. That's what gratitude is, responding to the great love of Christ. When we read through this passage and we see that we are not held accountable for our sins when we come and bring them to Jesus. When we ask for forgiveness and admit that we were wrong, and we say, Lord, I need my life to change. I do not want to sin against you anymore. He no longer holds that against us. That's mercy. He's not going to give us what we deserve. And then loving us in graciousness, he will give us what we don't deserve, which is love and compassion. Right? It says at the beginning of this passage, don't forget all his benefits. I love that. It's not like a credit card with perks. It's not like the God card that you swipe and you're like, I'll use my points to go on vacation. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? You all have those and I know what you thought. What we're talking about is all the things listed after that. Who God is, his character. All the things that are true about him are the benefits of the Lord. It's not health, wealth, and happiness. Because you're going to ask for some things like I have in my life. And I'm like, I actually got everything I prayed for. I just didn't envision it being as hard. Right? I didn't know what the path would be. But I did ask God to make me like him. I asked God to refine me. I asked him to give me wisdom. And sometimes that's really stinking hard. If you're someone who's trying to break some family cycles, that's really hard work. If you're trying to end generations of divorce and dysfunction, that's really difficult. If you're trying to break an addiction, that's really tough. And that's not even the right word for it, right? They're everything that we would ask or pray for to be freed from, to be able to shed, it costs something. And see, in my mind, what happens when I lose sight of gratitude is that I forget that there's hard work involved. And I have to take a step back and say, gratitude is me responding to the great love of Christ in remembering what he's done for me. I love the way that the psalm begins and ends. In verse 1, it would say this, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. It's the very first verse. The last verse says this, praise the Lord, all the works everywhere in his dominion, praise the Lord, my soul. I thought this was very interesting because as I hone in on this, when we don't have the words to deal with life, when it feels so difficult that we're wondering if God is in it with us, if we're staying distant from God because it looks like God, a loving God would never do that, if we're trying to do all this, it gets difficult. It feels overwhelming. We're feeling the effects of our pride, our sin. We're maybe hitting rock bottom. Gratitude is not something that we're like, let me try that. Usually we're a little bit of a mess. We're reaching out for help. And that's why even in gratitude, we can come to the Lord. Because when we ask for forgiveness of our sins, what we're doing is saying, Lord, thank you for this gift of salvation. Thank you for offering to forgive the worst parts about me and make me into someone brand new. That is how we enter into relationship with Jesus. It's a step of gratitude, of humility, of realizing who God is. And so when we're in these moments, whatever it may be, or we're trying to focus on gratitude, there's something else that we have to do. And this, the beginning and the end of this passage points, it says, my innermost being. Here's what I know about that. Our soul, the thing that actually is eternal, that will move from this life to the next with God or without him. And whatever direction that is, what I know and what you know probably pretty well is that our souls are not accessible to us. Because I bet you've fought pretty hard to change your life on your own, and it probably doesn't work. And I bet that you've even, as a follower of Jesus, maybe sometimes you're like me and you try to do it on your own and you realize, I can't. And you hit this rock bottom and we have a choice. Either we look and say, I'm going to look at these circumstances and that's going to be who God is. Or I'm actually going to look at God's word and I have an opportunity to do something different. Because here's what we can do is we can view our circumstances through God's character. Because what we know to be true is this, is that circumstances are changing all the time. When you're in them, it seems like it'll never end. It seems like life is over. But on the other side of these circumstances are different circumstances, other problems, other good things, right? It's something that we have to make it through. And while our circumstances will change, God's character never does. And so no matter how long it takes us to get here, where we're going, God's character as described in this verse is always the same. And so when we look at our circumstances and we are viewing our circumstances through God and his character, what we start to do is say things like this, God is forgiving. And so my circumstances are tough and I've made a few mistakes here, but God will forgive me if I ask him. God is compassionate to me. He knows that I am grass. I'm withering away. I am dealing with a sinful heart. My innermost being is something that I have to give access to the Lord. I'm not changing it on my own. And what coming to Christ and saying, will you come into my life? What we're doing is saying, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, will you change my innermost being? And that's what begins to happen when, with gratitude, as we start to thank the Lord for the work that only he could do. Because you get the other side of those circumstances, and if you can think clearly enough to attribute that good to the Lord, it's what we forget to do many times, is there is good happening in our life, and we don't attribute it to the Lord, only the bad. Someone told me one time early on in life, if you're going to take credit, if you're going to take all the bad credit, you have to take credit for the good too. And here's what I realized. The same is true. If I'm going to give God, if I'm going to make God take credit for all the bad stuff, I better at least give him credit for the good things too. And when I grow in my understanding, what I realize is that God is always good. It's who he is. And so compassion, graciousness, kind, merciful, pulling me out of the pit is something that he is doing in my heart. Because now when I go to him in relationship, the relationship with sin is changed. Before, my innermost being was defined by sin. My heart is desperately wicked, the Bible would say. When I come into relationship with Jesus, the reason I can express gratitude is because now, in my innermost being, praising the Lord, all my innermost being is a changed heart, a renewed heart that's on a journey somewhere, away from where I was to where I'm supposed to be. In order to embody this, we have to give Christ control of our lives. We have to surrender that to him. And gratitude comes out of love for Jesus. It's plain here in this passage, if you read this a couple times this week, to see who God is and what he has done for us. There's no blame. There's no nothing. It's strictly telling us what God desires to do in our lives. It's sobering. If we can take a moment to sit down and realize we have a lot to be thankful for, of what God offers to do in our lives or what he's doing in our lives. Here's what I'd like to do today. I normally would just end and pray for us, but here's what I'd like to do, just something a little different, nothing crazy. What I want to do is just give us an opportunity to do gratitude in real time. I'm not going to make you talk to anybody, nothing. Here's what I want us to do. I am going to lead us in a time of prayer, but here's what I'd love for you to do. I'm just going to give you some prompts of things to talk to the Lord about. And so I'll say, talk to the Lord about this for a few seconds. And then we'll move on to the next one, and the next one. And I'll move us through a couple of these. And I want you and the Lord, you don't have to say anything out loud, you just talk to the Lord in your heart and your mind. If you've never prayed before, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you can pray for the first time today. This would actually be a perfect moment for you to hear what God is doing in your life and to consider if you've ever made a decision around the person of Jesus. But I'm going to guide us in this time. So what I'd love for you to do is try to set distractions aside if you can. Just bow your head, and I want you to spend some time praying. I'll lead you through these prompts, and then I'll close this at the end here. Here's the first thing. I just want you to connect with the Lord on this thing. The first thing is this, is let's just spend a few moments first just between you and the Lord. Thank God for the forgiveness of your sin that he offers. Whether you've received that, thank God for that out of gratitude. Just react to that. Praise him for that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is the perfect time for you to receive that forgiveness if you want to. Talk to the Lord about that. I'll give you just a few seconds here to do that. In the passage, we see that God says that he has redeemed us, that he's pulled us out of the pit. I would love for you to think about the time where Jesus met you, when he stretched his hand out to yours when you were in the pit. If you received Christ in that moment, talk to him about that moment. If you're here today and you feel like you are in your pit right now, you can stretch your hand out to God's. You can invite him into your life and he will do that. You can receive that. Take a moment and talk to God about that. next in the passage, it talks about mercy and graciousness. We are all, frankly, very aware of our sin. Would you spend a moment thanking God for paying the price for your sin and not giving you what you deserved in punishment? Thank him for his mercy. If you need his mercy, just tell him that. Tell him that you need him to save you from this moment. Let's also spend a moment for thanking God for understanding who we are. The Bible would say that he knew us in our mother's womb. He understands the fragility of our life. He knows every circumstance that we're in right now. He knows every feeling attached to that. Would you just spend a moment thanking him for being with you, for understanding the struggle that you're in? And not only that, but continuing to love us despite where we are, crowning us with love and compassion when we know him. Next, what I want you to do is think about every good thing that you can right now in your life, even if it's difficult, to dig deep. And if you can only say things that you heard today from the passage, do that. But let's attribute the good in our lives to God, who it is truly from. Every good thing. Spend a moment with that. What I want to do next is this, is just, you can continue with any of these ones I didn't give you long enough for, that you were like, Aaron, I had more to say to God about that. You can continue doing that. I'm going to invite the band to come up and give us just a little more time. But anything else you need to say to God, anything else you need to praise him for, what we just did was practice gratitude. This is one way to do it, is to just, before the Lord, bring the things, repeat the things that we know are true, to identify them in our lives and respond to his great love for us. If you asked Jesus to be in your life for the first time today, or you received him the first time, would you just let us know that today? Somebody can find me after, or find someone and or write it on a card. We would just love to know if today was the first time in gratitude that you came to the Lord. Let me just close us quick here in a word of prayer, then you can keep doing what you're doing and the band will give us just a little space as we end our time here this morning. God, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to know who you are. God, to know your character, to know that every good thing in our lives, Lord, is from you. God, thank you that in all the seriousness of our sin, the way that it separates us from you, the way that it defines our life, when we take a step forward, even in gratitude, Lord, to receive what you want, Lord, which is relationship with us, forgiveness for our sins, right? Us looking at you and saying that you are Lord, you are God, who is all these things that we just read. God, when we come to you, thank you for forgiving us. God, thank you that as we struggle in this life and we move through times, that you know who we are. God, you know how prone we are to worry, to wander, to lose sight. And God, your response is to continue to renew and to change our hearts, to love us, Lord, to give us more of who you are. God, that's what we ask. Would you continue to help us in every day to respond to your great love for us through gratitude? We love you, Lord. We're thankful for this time this morning.